Thank you, Pastor. Oh, this is hot. I like that. My wife, have my wife stand. This is my wife, Letha. We just celebrated 29 years of marriage. My wife just turned 17. I just turned 18 when we got married. We had one son, three daughters, and six grandchildren. How many of you guys love your grandchildren? Amen? And you hear more about our family here after a bit. Pastors got up in a pulpit one Sunday morning. He grabbed the microphone. He says, "Let the church walk. Let it walk." The deacons, I met a few of the board members this morning. They stood up and they said, "Hallelujah, Pastor. Let the church walk. Let it walk." Pastor gets up, grabs the microphone and says, "Let the church run. Let it run." Deacons start running around the church saying, "Hallelujah, Pastor. Let the church run. Let it run." Pastor gets up, grabs the microphone, and he says, "Let the church fly, let it fly." Everybody starts running around the church saying, "Hallelujah, Pastor, let the church fly, let it fly." The pastor gets up and said, "It's going to take money to get the church to fly." People got up and says, "Let the church walk, let it walk." Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 43 this morning. Have you heard that before, Pastor? You probably said that before, have you? Isaiah chapter 43. Father God, as we open up your word today, Father, we are asking for the power of the Holy Spirit. We are asking for the glory of God to fill the house, Lord, that none of us will leave the same way we came, Father, that each and every one of us will be transformed by the power of God. May the anointing break every yoke, every chain, and break every bondage in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 1 says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created you." How many guys know that you have been created by God himself? Amen. You are not an accident. You didn't come from a monkey, but God himself has created you. Amen. He goes on and says, "I've created you." And then he goes on and says, "O Jacob, he that formed you." Not only did God create you, he formed you with his own hand. The Bible says that you are wonderfully created and formed by God himself. He created you and he formed you. Amen? Amen. Then he goes on and says, "Not only did I create you, not only did I form you." He says, "Fear not, because I have redeemed you." He has redeemed you. How many guys know that before you gave your life to Christ that you were a slave to sin? You were a slave to the enemy. You were a child of darkness. But God said, "I bought you back from slavery." You are no longer in bondage. You no longer in darkness. But he redeemed you. He bought you with his own blood. He purchased you. And now you belong. You are a child of God. And you've been translated from the power of darkness. And you've been translated into the marvelous light. Amen. So he wants to let you know, he's talking to God's people here. He said, "I created you, I formed you, and I bought you, I redeemed you." And then he goes on and says, "I have called you by name. You are mine." So he's wanting you to know in this passage, yes, I have created you. Yes, I have formed you. Yes, I have redeemed you. Yes, I have called you by name. You belong to me. How many of you guys know that's talking to God's people there? But watch what verse number 2 says. Verse number 2 says, "Even though I created you, even though I formed you, even though I redeemed you, even though you belong to me and I've called you by name," he says, "it don't exclude you from going through trials and tribulations." It says in verse number 2, "But when you pass," say when. Say it again, when. Not if, but when. "When you pass through the waters," he said, "I will be with you." Now the children of Israel, once they were slaves for 400 years, they were living in Egypt and serving the Egyptians, and they were talked down to every day. They were abused and mistreated. And for 400 years, but God raised up a redeemer and raised up a deliverer named Moses. Moses goes into Egypt and says, "Let my people go." And when Pharaoh finally did let them go, here they are before the Red Sea. They got mountains on both sides of them. The Egyptians changed their mind. They said, we want them back as our slaves. So they were pursuing them. And the Red Sea was in front of them. In other words, they were completely boxed in. It looked like a hopeless situation. But it says, when you pass through the water, when you walk through the waters, referring to this passage, he says, don't worry because I'm going to be with you. In other words, there's going to be times in your life when it looks like you're going to be boxed in. It looks like it's going to be hopeless, that everything is against you. But God said, just as I was with the children of Israel, and they passed through the Red Sea, and they made it to the other side, the walls were on both sides of them, the Red Sea was on both sides of them, and they walked through on dry ground. He said, just as I was with the children of Israel in their situation, God said, I'm going to be with you too. Amen? Amen. But then he goes on and says, not only that Bible example, but he says, when you pass through the rivers. Now, 40 years later, they were homeless in the wilderness for 40 years. They were wandering around the same mountain. But the time of our homelessness was over. The time of our wandering around in the wilderness, going around in circles, was over. God raises up Joshua, and Joshua is about to lead the people of God into the promised land. But there was a barrier between where they were and where God was calling them to, and it was called the Jordan River. But God said, just as I stopped the river from overflowing them and they went in and possessed the promised land, just as I was with the children of Israel in the Red Sea, and just as I was with the children of Israel when they went through the Jordan River, God said, I'm going to be with you and your river and your situation that you are currently facing right now. That's good news. Amen. But then he gives another example. Not just the Red Sea, not just the Jordan River, but he says, when, there it is again, when, everybody say when. When you walk through the fire, he's talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were facing a fiery situation in their life, and they got thrown alive into this fire that was heated up seven times hotter. But they did not even come out with a smell of smoke on their clothes. What they were going through didn't overtake them. It didn't consume them. It didn't burn them up. They came through that situation. Can I tell you something? It doesn't matter how spiritual you are. You could be the most spiritual person on the earth. You can speak in tongues 12 hours a day. But can I tell you something? That don't exclude you from going through some storms in your life. It doesn't matter how much Bible you got memorized. You can have the Bible memorized in five different languages from Genesis to Revelation. But I come to tell you, that does not exclude you from going through some storms in your life. All of us are going to go through the storm. Amen? It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. In fact, I found out that you are either in one of these three stages right now. You're right dead in the middle of a storm, of a situation. You just finally came out of one, or you're about to go into one, but you're in one of those three stages right now. You see, he said, when? David says it like this in Psalm 34, verse number 19. He said, many. Somebody say many. Many. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But David said, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Yes, you're going to go through it, but God is going to bring deliverance to you. Amen? You see, Jesus says it like this in John 16, 33. He said, in the world you will, somebody say will. You will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He said, I have overcome the world. James chapter 1, verse number 2 and 3, he said that we're going to go through many different trials and storms and tribulations. Count it all joy when, somebody say when. When you fall into diverse temptations. 1 Peter 4, verse number 12 says, beloved, thinking that strange concerning the fiery trial which is, somebody say is, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you, but rejoice. Yes, we are going to go through some storms in our life. And can I tell you something? We're going to go through it, but three promises for you today. Number one, God has a purpose for your past. Write that down. God has a purpose for your past. It says in Romans 8:28, all things, say all. All things work together for good for those that love God and for those that are called according to his purpose. Now remember, this is the Apostle Paul that is writing these verses. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten with rods. He was stoned to death. He was overthrown. And the Bible, the Apostle Paul went through so many storms in his life. And here he is in the looking back over everything that he went through, and he says, yes, I know I've been shipwrecked. I know I've been stoned. I know I've been beat with rods, and I've been whipped several times. He says, but I know that all things work together for good. I might be going through it right now, but God is going to turn it around. Somebody is going through a storm in this service right now, and God come wanted me to remind you that he is going to turn it around for something good. Amen? Can I tell you something? Me and my wife, we've been in the ministry for 20 years now. And during that time, especially the last 13 years, we have been doing inner city ministry. And in that 13 years, we have raised up thousands of outreach workers. We have birthed numerous homeless ministries all over Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, Detroit, Michigan, and now here in Phoenix, Arizona. We have birthed prostitution ministries where we go after the women that are selling their bodies on the street corner. We've rescued over 30 women from the streets of Cincinnati alone. No longer out there selling their bodies or living productive lives. Many of them have joined our prostitution team, and others have supported us monthly as a missionary. And they go back out rescuing other women that are trapped in that same lifestyle. We raised up children's ministries, but can I tell you something? Even though we preached over 250,000 people in the last 12 years on the streets, even though we raised up all of these outreach ministries and have seen thousands of people to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, it didn't exclude me and my wife from going through some storms in our life. I mean, one of the things that we did in Cincinnati is we took over a crack house. Get ready to show that video in a minute. But literally, there was 1818 Vine Street in Cincinnati was one of the most dangerous places for a person to go. It's where you go to buy your drugs, where you go to buy your guns, is where you go buy everything under the sun, as 1818 Vine Street, called Pepper Lounge. And the SWAT team goes in and raids that building. They arrest everybody there, and they lock the building, and they shut it down. 2 weeks later, we took possession of that crack house, and we turned it into God's house. 5 days a week, we had dope boys, we had pimps, we had prostitutes coming in, we had hundreds of homeless people coming in 5 days a week for lunch, but guess what? Every day, they got the word of God, and we preached to them. And we led hundreds of people to the Lord, turning that crack house into God's house. Let Channel 12 News tell you all about it.
Well, what's going on inside one Vine Street building is changing a neighborhood, one person at a time.
Not long ago, 1818 Vine Street was not a good place to be. A barbershop nearby was raided this summer for guns and drugs. Crime sparked all around the area, and at one point, the door to the building was padlocked. But things are a bit different now. Local 12's Deborah Dixon went there for lunch.
It's more than music and food that draws a crowd twice a day to the new Lord's Gym on Vine Street, moving in after a drug house was forced out.
We're serving 33 people right now.
37.
Correct.
Several businesses help the Lord's Gym feed the body and the spirit.
This morning, I got up bright and early because I went to GTM, and we're in the process right now of putting it up. It gave us a whole lot of ground beef hamburgers. Hey, how's it going, Donna?
Some who come here are addicts. Most are homeless, hopeless, and hungry.
We let them know, you know, that hope is available. To get up, believe again, go do what you need to do. Go put in resumes, go knock on some more doors, and do whatever it takes to transition back into life again. Without a purpose, you have no reason to live. We give them purpose. We teach them to not be takers, but to be givers. We believe everybody should be effective and fruitful and to give back.
I used to be a crackhead, alcoholic, you name it. I've done them all.
Michael stopped doing drugs when he started volunteering here. There are 20 volunteers.
It makes me feel like I have a purpose in life. I haven't had a purpose in life since I was little. I always just ran around doing whatever it was. Now I got a purpose. I wake up in the morning wanting to come here.
Volunteer Jeff Callen is a former homeless crack addict.
I got a purpose. In 6 months I'll be 50 years old, and I know I'm going to make it now. I know I'm going to make it to 50.
There is something about being here that makes people feel like singing.
When one person changes, a whole family can change. And when a family changes, a street can change. And when a street changes, the whole community can change. And what this is about change right here and over the Rhine, right here in this neighborhood.
Lee says part of that change is a new sense of community. Deborah Dixon.
And so, isn't that awesome? Hundreds of people got saved in that crack house, now turned into God's house. And so literally we had 15 outreaches a week. We were all over the streets of Cincinnati and northern Kentucky. We had discipleship programs and homeless ministries, prostitution ministries, and children's ministries, and ministering over 1,500 people every week. And 4 years ago, on August 13th, 2014, we came home to find our world completely upside down, right in the middle of a powerful move of God. It was a long day of ministry. We just got done baptizing people in the hood. Power of God was moving, and people were getting saved, and not knowing that we would come home to a major tragedy in our basement. Came home one day and tired, and I took off my shoes, and I was relaxing on the living room couch, and our daughter, she lived with us at the time, and our oldest son lived with us at the time, and our youngest daughter came into the house. She beat us home that day, and she noticed that the basement light was on. She seen it when she was coming in the house. And so when we walked into the house and I took my shoes off, and my youngest daughter says, "Did you know that the basement light's on?" My wife says, "No, I didn't know." So she went to go turn the light off, and she opened the door, and there lays our 19-year-old son. And she comes running in the house, and she goes, "You got to get your shoes on. Our son's hurt. We got to get him to the hospital." And I didn't worry about the shoes. I ran straight to the basement scene, and I stepped down those three steps and into a pool of blood. I grabbed a hold of my son, and I got down and on the concrete and got down in the blood, and I noticed that he was stiff, and he was not breathing, he was not moving, and I began to pray and call out to the Lord. I said, "God, bring our 19-year-old son, our only son, please bring our son back. Please bring our son back." For about 20 minutes later, the cops would be showing up all over the place, and they made us leave our son and leave the basement, and they taped up the whole area. Even today, it's still a mystery. We don't even know what happened that day. Still an open case, a gunshot wound to the stomach. He got shot. Somehow he was trying to crawl out of a basement, and he made it to the door, and that's where we found him. Our son loved the Lord very much. Everyone in Cincinnati and Covington, if you were homeless, you knew our son, because our son was very passionate about the ministry that we was involved in. In fact, everything that our son owned, you could have put in one suitcase, because he gave everything away. He went around prophesying and loving on the homeless. And I used to tell my son all the time, he used to get up in the middle of the night and says, God's calling me to go minister to people. I said, "Son," I said, "Jesus always sent them out two by two. I don't know if you should be doing this." He goes, "Dad, you do your ministry the way you want to, and I'll do my ministry the way I want to." But he loved the Lord, and he loved people. And that day changed our life in a few days. You know, and if ever there was a moment when I wanted to quit, when I wanted to throw in a towel after preaching to 250,000 people and seeing thousands of people to come to know Christ and to see drug addicts and pimps and prostitutes give our lives to the Lord. But if ever there was a moment that I was tempted to quit, this would have been it. Amen? In fact, I text all my pastor friends that night. I felt like a failure. Has anybody ever felt like a failure before? And I text them. I said, "I quit. I'm done. I'm a failure. I can't do this no longer." And for 2 days, I wallowed in it, and I was even becoming suicidal. I've never even had suicidal thoughts in my entire life, but I was battling and struggling and trying to get through all of this, but I woke up on the third day, and me and my wife and my three daughters, we made a firm decision that day that we're not going to quit. We're not going to throw in a towel. We're not going to get mad at God. That I'm going to preach my son's funeral, and we're going to get up, and we're going to plant inner city churches all over America. We believe that God has a purpose for everything that he has allowed in our life. We believe that God is a good God and that he is a faithful God, and somehow God is going to turn it around for something good. Amen. And then a year later, after I preached my son's funeral, I got up, literally preached my son's funeral, and people gave their lives to Christ. That day I preached a message about Jesus beaten in the garden. And he said he knew that the pain was coming. He knew that the humiliation was about to come. And Jesus prayed. He said, Lord, if it's possible, I know what I'm about to face. I know what I'm about to go through. I see the whipping and them spitting in my face and them hitting me with their... I see what I'm about to go through. Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to drink this cup today, is what Jesus was saying. Please, if there's any other way. But then he said, nevertheless. Everybody say, nevertheless. Nevertheless. Not my will, but your will be done. And so that day I preached a message. Lord, I don't want to drink this cup today. I don't want to preach my son's funeral. I don't want to put him in the grave today. Lord, if it's possible, please let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. Amen. And the moment that you make that decision to trust the Lord, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Everybody say all. Lean not towards your own understanding. I tried to figure out many times what happened in that basement scene. I went back several times and I was trying to figure out what happened. But God says, will you trust me? Will you quit trying to figure everything out? Will you stop leaning on your own understanding and just acknowledge me? And God says, if you will trust me, if you will lean upon me, if you will just acknowledge me, God said, his promise is, I will direct your path. Amen. Some of you, you've been through some pain in your life, and you're trying to figure out how, and you're trying to figure out why. Maybe you lost a loved one. But one of my greatest prayers today after preaching my son's funeral is, Lord, this hurts. How many of you guys know you can say this hurts? Lord, this hurts. I don't understand it. You can tell the Lord you don't understand it. But then you got to put a comma in it. Lord, this hurts me, and I don't understand it, but I trust you. I trust you. And the moment that you choose to trust the Lord that he is good and that he is faithful and that he's got a purpose, he's got a plan, he's got a promise. Can I tell you something? He gives me and my wife the strength to keep walking and moving forward and preaching the gospel and leading people to Christ. Amen. Why? Because God has a purpose for your past. Not only did I preach my son's funeral, but a year after I preached my son's funeral, my oldest daughter lost her only son, came into the room, and he had SIDS and just stopped breathing, two-month-old baby. And for 1 month, they rushed him to the hospital. They lived two blocks away from the hospital, and I remember getting a call that day, and you got to get to the hospital right away, or your grandson's not breathing. And so we ran to the hospital, and they transported him to Indianapolis Children's Hospital, where our grandson would lay on life support for 30 days. And for 30 days, the doctors kept coming in and telling us that there's no brain activity, that we need to pull the plug and allow our grandson to go on to the Lord. But, you know, that was a hard decision. Because I was thinking, okay, we lost our son, but now God is going to show us what it looks like when we get the miracle, when we get the breakthrough, we see the healing. So we brought healing teams up to that hospital team. We turned that hospital room into a sanctuary. We brought our computer up there, and we played praise and worship 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 30 days. We were worshiping the Lord, and you're a good, good father. You're a healing God. And we had scriptures all over the room on healing, and we were prophesying and laying hands on our grandson, anointing him with oil, believing God for a miracle. But somebody needs to tell me what happens when you don't see the miracle. When you don't see the breakthrough, and we had to pull the plug and watch our grandson gasp for air for 8 hours as we're singing, you're a good, good father, and our grandson would be ushered into the presence of the Lord. 9 days later, I would be preaching my grandson's funeral. I come to tell you today that none of us are excluded from going through, whether you're a pastor, an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, no matter what your role is, make it clear today, you will go through some situations in your life. You're going to lose some people that you love. You're going to experience some pain that you would say, Lord, if it's possible, please let this cup pass from me. Amen. But know today for sure that God has a plan for your past. Everything that you've been through, God's got a plan. Nothing has been wasted. Amen. Number two, not only does God got a plan for your past, number two, he's got a plan for your future. He's got a purpose for your past, and he's got a plan for your future. Jeremiah 29, verse number 11, one of the most quoted verses in the entire Word of God, says, For I know the plans that I have towards you, saith God. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope in the future. Most people know that verse, but they have no idea what the context is. Can I tell you something? When that verse was given to God's people, the Jewish people, they were homeless. They were in Babylon for 70 years. They were taken from Jerusalem. They were taken from their homes and their place of worship, and they were carried into Babylon. For 70 years, they were in Babylon in the middle of their captivity, in the middle of their homelessness and everything that they were going through. It's almost like God was saying to them, I know it's dark now, but I still got a plan for you. I know it looks like it's over now, but it's not over until I say it's over. I still got a plan for you. I still got a purpose for you. I'm going to restore you, and I'm going to bring you back into your homeland. Can I tell you something? I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what situation that you are battling. I don't know how hopeless it may. Maybe you just got a layoff letter. Maybe you just got an eviction letter. Or maybe you just got news that you have cancer in your body. I come to tell you today that God has got a plan for your future. Amen? Amen. He's got a purpose for your past. He's got a plan for your future. And number three, he's got a promise for your today. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 20, all, somebody say all, I love those words, all the promises of God are yes and amen. Yes, I know you've been through some things, but God's got a purpose, God's got a plan, and most importantly today for you is God has a promise for you today. Number one, maybe it's the promise of salvation. You may be here today. You don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I come to tell you about the promise of salvation, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It don't matter what you've done. It don't matter where you've been and how far you've ran from God. You may have been here today and you killed someone or molested a child, but I come to tell you about the saving power of Jesus Christ. Amen. His blood still saves. Amen. But not only the promise of salvation, somebody here today needs to hear about the promise of forgiveness. My Bible tells me that as far as the east is from the west, that's how far God is ready and willing to forgive you of everything that you have ever done in your life. The promise of forgiveness. I thank God that Psalms 103, verse number 12, does not say as far as the north is to the south. If God would have said, I'm willing to forgive you as far as the north is to the south, do you know that that would have made God's love, his mercy, and forgiveness limited? You could only mess up so many times. You could only relapse so many times, and then you would hit that mark, and God would say, oh, you hit your limit. You could ask Sierra right now, what is the distance between the North Pole and the South Pole? Sierra will come back and say the distance from the North Pole to the South Pole is 12,430 miles. That's how many times you can mess up. But God did not say as far as the north is to the south. God in his word said as far as the east is from the west. Me and my wife went to Israel in 1999. We got on an airplane from New York City and flew to Tel Aviv. We began to go east. But do you know that if we never got off that plane and we never ran out of gas and we didn't deviate off of our path, we would still be going east today. You would never be able to catch west. What is God trying to say in His Word? God is trying to say to you today, my love for you is unlimited. My mercy for you is unlimited. My forgiveness for you is unlimited. That if you would just come before the Lord today and fall before Him with a broken heart, it says in 1 John chapter 1, that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that good news? I come to tell you today about the promise of salvation. I come today to tell you about the promise of His forgiveness. But how about another promise? The promise of deliverance. Now, there's nothing wrong with AA and Celebrate Recovery. I taught Celebrate Recovery in years, in prison for years, locked up with a, and I would go into the prison, they would lock me up and say, I'll come back and get you in 1 hour. And I would preach to them out of Celebrate Recovery books. But can I tell you something? There is no substitute for being broken before God and wanting free from your chain. You want free from your addiction and you just come running. I come to tell you today, not about a 12-step, but a 1-step. Run to the blood. Run to the cross. Run to Calvary. In whom the Son of Man sets free, He is free indeed. If God can deliver 4 million Jews out of slavery, make no mistake about it. He can deliver you from alcohol. He can deliver you from drugs. He can deliver you from prostitution. I've already seen hundreds of people give their lives to Christ and their lives have been transformed by the power of God. Amen? Amen. You can be free. The promise of salvation, the promise of forgiveness, the promise of deliverance. How about today? The promise of healing. Do you realize what Jesus went through on that day when He was hanging on that cross and when they were beating Him on that back, first of all? Do you realize the wounds that Jesus have taken so that you and I can be forgiven, so that you and I can be saved, so that you and I can receive divine healing? How many of you guys know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? That He is no respecter of person. Jesus did it 2,000 years ago, and I come to tell you, I still believe in healing today. I used to have seizures every day, but God healed me from that several years ago. How many guys know, have already experienced His healing power? How about the promise of salvation, the promise of forgiveness, the promise of deliverance, the promise of healing? But how about the promise of provision? The promise of His provision. Some of you guys right now are down to nothing. And I come to remind you today that when you're down to nothing, God is up to something. I'm going to say that again. When you're down to nothing, God is up to something. Me and my wife, God has allowed me and my wife get down to nothing so many times. When we went full-time ministry, we used to make caskets for a living. You're looking at a welder here. I made thousands of caskets. For 20 years, I welded and grind caskets. And then as soon as I got off work, we would go down and serve a homeless and preach the gospel. We've been in ministry a long time, but I've been working and making my own way. And one day as I was welding and grinding, my mom called. She texted me and she says, what do you want for your birthday? And I said, well, you know, Mom, I says, the only thing I want for birthday is I want to go 3 miles up in the air and jump out of a perfectly good airplane. And it would cost $159. Mom said, I'll pay for that. That's a good mama, right? That's a good mama. I'll never forget that day because it changed my life forever. I had no savings. I had no backup plan. Me and my wife went up there. We got in the airplane, the attachment. We're jumping out of a plane with an instructor, someone that knows what they're doing. And so that day, as we got up in the air, my wife, I let her go first. I'm not going to argue. You want to go first, go ahead. Someone's got to make sure this is safe, you know. But that day, they said, watch for your name to come on the screen. It says, when your name comes up on the screen, that means that your plane is about to go next. You are to find the person that's next to your name. That's the person you're going to jump out of the plane with. And so I'm waiting for my name. Aletha, you're on your own. I'm looking for my name, but when my name came on that screen, I'm on a search now. I'm looking for the guy that I'm going to be jumping out of a perfectly good airplane attached to it. I only have one question for the man that I'm about to jump out of a plane with. Have you been skydiving yet, brother? You need to go skydiving. It's awesome. And so I have one question for this guy that I'm about to jump out of a perfect airplane. And it's not, do you speak in tongues? Do you got the Bible memorized? I'm not even going, we'll wait to deal with all that when we get down on the ground. But one question for the man that I'm about to jump out of a plane with. And it's, sir, how many times have you done this? If that guy would have told me, well, this is my seventh jump, I said, you keep my $159, I'm going back home to Cincinnati. But when that man told me how many times he jumped out of that perfect airplane and he's still living to tell about it, I just remember 7,000. That's all I remember. There was other numbers, but 7,000 was more than enough for me. It gave me so much faith in this man that I didn't know that I attached myself to him and jumped out of that plane, and I didn't even ask him where the cord was. I still don't even know where the cord is today. In case something happened to us on the way down, don't you think that you should know where the cord is in case he gets knocked out or something? In case I go crazy and knock him out, where did he go? You going to pull that cord? Yeah. So I think it's an important question, but it gave me so much faith in this man that I didn't know that. And here I am, I'm driving home that day. I jumped out. I had such an adrenaline rush, I couldn't explain it. I was driving down an interstate. The Holy Spirit pinned me down right where he wanted me. After welding and grinding for 20 years, and after jumping out of that plane, the Holy Spirit said, you mean you put that much faith in a man that you only knew for 5 minutes? The Holy Spirit said, how long have you known me? How long have you been walking with me? It so rattled my chain. I fasted and prayed for 3 days. I go back to welding and grinding, and I got one prayer before the Lord. I said, Lord, bid me to come. I'm like Peter, and I'm looking out at the waves, and I said, Lord, if it's really you, bid me to come. I got to make sure that it's not just me, that you really want me to walk away from 20 years of experience, 67 jobs, overtime, 401k and insurance when you have four kids is important, isn't it? So when Peter got out of a boat and walked on water, can I tell you something? He had a word from God. If you try to get out of a boat and walk on water and you don't have a word from God, you are not even going to get as far as Peter did. You're going to sink immediately. As soon as you let go, bam, right down in the water you go. Why? Because it's impossible. But I come to tell you, when you got a word from God, you can do the impossible. Peter, when he got out of a boat walking on water, he was not walking on water. He was walking on the word that God gave him to come out of a boat. Amen? I said, God, if this is really you, bid me to come. 3 days later, as I was welding that casket, the Holy Spirit simply said, come. I go home. I tell my wife, my son, my three daughters. I said, God wants me to walk away from him and walk away from this job and trust him completely and give myself to the homeless and rescuing women from prostitution and do the ministry that God has called me to do. I says, what do you think? My wife, my son, my three daughters said, if God told you to do it, do it. I go back in, I hand a 7-day work notice to my boss. 7 days later, I'm clocking out for the last time. I've been credentialed with the Assemblies for several years, but I didn't have a U.S. missions account. I didn't know where my next check was coming from, but I had a word from God, and I got the blessing of my family. And if I can trust a man, surely I can trust a living God. Amen? 7 days later, I'm clocking out. I'm walking out of that place. The next day, I woke up. I started my day the same way I always started my day when I was in the secular world. I started it in the presence of God, reading and praying and seeking the face of God, saying, God, what is my assignment today? Got a phone call. It was a mega church down the road. They had a homeless guy show up, and they said, would you and your wife please come and remove him from our doorstep? Me and my wife came and picked him up, and by the end of that day, God gave us 3 months' income, and I never turned back. Why? Because I was down to nothing, but God was up to something. Amen? Well, let me tell you a few more stories, and we'll start wrapping this up. When we lost our 19-year-old son, I was down to $18 in our checking account. All of our bills were paid. We was literally down to $18. We're down to nothing. And then I posted on Facebook. I haven't deleted anything. August 13, 2014, we lost our son. A few days later, I'm posting on Facebook one time. I said, Body of Christ, family and friends, this is our darkest hour. I said, we are about to bury our son. If you want to contribute to this, you can walk into any Fifth Third Bank in America and deposit money into that Jeremiah David Turner Memorial account. One by one, people begin to walk in. Over 100 people begin to walk into that bank and deposit money. Before I got up and preached my son's funeral, God gave us, it cost $10,000 to bury our son. I had $18. By the time I got up and preached my son's funeral, $10,000 came in. Jehovah Jireh, amen. When you're down to nothing, God's up to something. I started to write the check out to the lady that was in charge of the funeral right before I got up and preached. And she says, what are you doing? I said, I'm writing you a check for all of us. She goes, no, please don't do that. Wait until after the service. I says, no, when I get up in that pulpit and preach my son's funeral, I want the world to know and I want the devil to know that we serve a good God. He's a providing God. And I refuse to preach my son's funeral in debt. Because when you're down to nothing, God is up to something. Amen. And so here we are. We raised up all of these ministries, and the Lord told us to walk away from those and come to Phoenix, Arizona. 2 years ago, me and my wife moved to Phoenix, Arizona, not knowing anyone, leaving our daughters and our grandchildren behind and driving here to Phoenix, Arizona to plant an inner city church and expand the gospel. And can I tell you what started out of the back end of our vehicle 2 years ago? God has raised up a massive army of other believers. We took over a bar. Show up, picture of that bar right there. We took over a bar. This is a place where 20 years there was a bar and a liquor store. And where people used to come to get drunk and get their liquor, now every Wednesday night they're coming in this place. We're packing it out. We've already outgrown this facility, and we turned that bar into a church. People are getting saved. People are getting baptized. Lives are being transformed. And where they used to come to get drunk on wine, they're now coming to get filled with the Spirit. Amen? Amen. God is on the move. And I come to tell you today that God has a purpose for your past. God's got a plan for your future, and He's got a promise for you today. Amen? I'm going to show you one last video, and then Pastor's going to come and raise an take up an offering for our ministry. You guys are already monthly partners with our ministry. Everything that I told you that we're doing, you're already partners. You've already connected with it. And I just want to say thank you so much for being a part of what God is doing in our lives and through our ministries. Amen? This video will do two things. It will honor our son. The person that you see praying, the boy you see praying, is our son. He was a spirit-filled, powerful man of God. And number two, it will give you a glimpse of what God has done in and through our ministry. God bless you.
Looking for the hearts that are open. You are looking for the mouth that will speak your word. You are looking for the soul that wants more of your presence. You are looking for the peace that will walk in the presence. You are looking for the eyes that search for the people that are lost. You are looking for the ears that will listen to you. You are looking. You are looking. And you are looking for the... I see a revelation right now. I see people gathering from the east, the north, the south, and the west. I see them. I see them as clear as day. I see them. I see light. I see the fire uniting in the hearts right now. Oh, son, I'm
terangnya bersinar, kegelapan telah sirna. Sujudlah padanya, sujudlah padanya. Mazmur
Going to give a love offering, but we're going to take some time to pray this morning. God sent us a word, and I believe that there may be those of you out there today that need to grab a hold of that word. You know, James talked about stepping out when we get a word from God, and there's so many ways that God can speak to our hearts, and through the preaching of his word is one of those primary ways. He prepares us, and he sends his Holy Spirit to just kind of prick our hearts and say that's you that I'm talking to today. And so if you're here in this place and God spoke to you through this message, any part of this message, maybe you need that promise today. Whether it's a promise of salvation or of forgiveness or healing, provision, I'm going to ask you to come. And James and Letha, would you just join me? And here's what I want you to do. You know how we take love offerings for our missionary guests. We just come after the service. We put it here on the table. And so you can do that anytime. You've got from now to when you walk out of this building to put a love offering up here. So I just want to make that known. But there's something even more important that we want to do in these altars today. And that is pray. To pray. And so if you're here in this place today and you need prayer, you need to take hold of that word that God spoke through James today, I'm going to ask them to pray over you this morning. Just come and fill these altars, line up, just give us a minute, and we'll get some of our other prayer warriors to come and join us too. But I want you guys to pray over them this morning and just speak the word of the Lord into lives. So if you're here in this place, before you do anything else, let's take time to pray. If you're here this morning and you need that promise of God to fill your life, maybe you're here and you're just hurting and you don't understand, as James said today, you don't understand why has this happened? Why am I going through this? I want you to come, and I want you to just pray this morning. We do have a good God. Did you hear that this morning? In the midst of his testimony, did you hear the fact that in spite of the things that happened to us, God is a good God, and he still has a plan for us, and he still cares, and he hasn't finished working out his plan in our lives yet. But you can't give up on God. You can't walk out of this place and say, I'm quitting. God is here to love on you today. God is here to open up the doors for you to take another step forward in his love and his grace. And maybe this is your first step forward. Maybe this is the first time you've really thought about surrendering your life to Jesus Christ in a relationship of salvation. I want you to know he's here today for that too. So would you just, right now, if you're here in this place and you pray, I want you to stand. I want you to come. I want you to stand and I want you to come. I want you to hesitate. I want you to stand and come. And as they come, we're just going to begin to move out and start praying. So it may take a few moments, but that's okay. Just come and start praying right where you're at. Give them a moment to move to you. Anybody else, come on, I want you to come and just fill this altar. Just stand, spread out. Just spread out on this altar. If you're here for prayer, spread out. Spread out. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody else? And then we're gonna start praying. Anybody else? You come this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you. Come on, if you're out there, if you're not up here to pray or to be prayed for, I want you to stretch your arms out to those who are here. And I want you to let God fill this place. Thank you. Hallelujah. Now I want to ask our elders, I want to ask our prayer warriors just to be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit this morning. And I do want James and Letha to just come and pray with each one who stood up here today. But if the Holy Spirit is touching you, say, I need to go stand with somebody this morning. I need to pray along with them. Then I want you to move out and begin to do that. He's got a purpose for your past. He's got a plan for your future. And he's got a promise for you today. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's begin to pray, church. Pray in the Holy Spirit. If you let the Holy Spirit move, lift up your voice to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we worship you, for you are the God who has a promise for us today. Oh, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let the Lord use you this morning. If you feel the Holy Spirit moving you to pray with somebody, I want you to be used of God. If you have a word from the Lord, I want you to be used of God. Let the Holy Spirit move in these altars today. Jesus, there is none like you, O Lord. Glory to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus.